Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving them all on, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. This one today, I want to share with you. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And here it is. There is a solution to all of your problems and situations. There is a solution to all of your problems and situations. If you are feeling are you feeling desperate about something and anxious about it? Are you feeling uncertain about anything? Are you at a loss for words? Are you, is your direction unclear? How about that? If you can't find your purpose, that's a good one. That stops a lot of people. If you don't know what your next move is, that's a good one. I don't care what it is. If the relationship you're in is all wrong and you don't know how to get out of it, it doesn't matter. There's a solution to all your problems and situations. And that solution, without trying to sound like I've been knowing this my whole life, because I haven't. That solution to all your problems, that way to make all your dreams come true, the way around a lot of this and to the weakness that you feel at times is prayer. Prayer, a connection with your Creator. Could that be the thing that's missing in your life? I'm just asking. Because whenever I get a little bit off track, all I got to do is think just a moment. Steve, have you been praying, man? Have you been connecting with your Creator? I know you're busy, man. I know you're busy. And I know at the end of the day, you're done. And sometimes crawling into bed is all you can manage to do. I've said this. It happened to me last night. Again, I did all of this. But when I look and when I see things not moving, or I don't feel like things are going in the right direction, or I have a sense of being stagnant, all I got to do is retrace it. Because I'm working. There's no doubt about that, I'm working. But am I staying connected? Am I using that weapon that's available to all of us? Am I praying? And the answer is usually no. And so I know, okay, man, I'm getting off track here. Because, see, let me tell you something, man. The reason I constantly talk to God is because life constantly changes. People who said they was going to do something for you one day have changed their mind the next. Somebody you thought was going to show up that day, called in late, had an accident, and couldn't make it. That changes the parameters of everything. The meeting you had set up that had to be canceled because somebody was ill, that changes the parameters, the time frame of everything, because it's all connected. So if I don't stay in constant prayer and stay connected to the Creator, when these things happen, I've not put in my bid. I've not talked to Him about how to handle it, or I'm just not aware of it and what to do next. And the next thing you know, it becomes a little stagnant. That has happened to me. I got to get back. Because prayer is the solution to all of my problems and situations. I have found that to be the case. Now, the only reason I'm telling it to you is because I know if you anything like me slash human being, then there are times that you feel anxious. There's moments of desperation. You have moments of uncertainty. There are times when you feel like you've lost your way, or your direction is unclear, or your purpose is a little blurred. You're not sure anymore, or you don't know what your next move is, or the relationship you in, or the relationships you dabbling in, they're just all wrong for you. Man, there is a solution to all your problems and situations, and it's prayer. If you're suffering from any of the things I just listed or any other thing you could think of, just check your prayer. What has your prayer been lately about it? And this is for everybody. I often find when I get that disconnection, man, my prayer done slipped off. I start feeling a little bit less, so I got to jump back on it. I'm just offering you a solution to it, man. And I'm giving you a solution that works 1,000% for sure. See, I ain't guessing at this one. I'm telling you what has happened in my life, how I did it, and it'll do for you. God is filled with mercy and grace. He knows we all messed up. He knows all of us have done some jacked up things that don't nobody know about. He know all about our past, man. He know all of that. But He is so full of grace and mercy, so full of 55th chances. But you know the thing about your life, though, and the thing I had to come to terms with, and the reason I don't let my past bury me, the reason I don't let my past define me, is because my past, I found out, were just the ingredients needed for me to make this cake I'm eating now. My past is just my ingredients. See, you don't get rid of your past. They ain't going nowhere. They are the ingredients. But when you put them with something else, they look better. They taste better. It is better. All of our past are just the ingredients that have become the cake we eating now. Now, if you don't like the way your cake tastes, then you got to start putting some other ingredients in there. Just because you started off and your cake was messed up don't mean you can't straighten out the flavor of your cake. You got to put some different ingredients in there. So let's say your cake is trifling tasted. It's bitter. Your cake is bitter. Well, you got to dilute the bitterness. You got to put some more goodness in there. So you got to put some goodness ingredients to take away the taste of the bitterness. So you got to put some different ingredients in there. You got to start living your life a little more kindly, a little more thoughtful, a little more sharing, a little more caring. And then after a while, man, those new ingredients combined with that bitter, it starts overshadowing the bitter taste because the bitter taste is further behind you now. See, something that happened to you 12, 15, 30, 25, 16 years ago ain't got to be the flavor that's in your mouth now unless you let it be. It's the ingredients, man. If you sick of the way your cake tastes, then change your ingredients. Put something else in your cake mix. so you can get a better taste. And if you don't like the way your life tastes, pray. Prayer changes things. I'm telling you, I've been hearing my mama say it for years. Boy, prayer changes things. Do you hear me? Prayer changes things. Don't, my mama, you say it to me all the time. I say it to my TV audiences when they come see me on the talk show. Before I walk off stage, I tell them these words my mother said. I said, my mother used to always tell me this, and it's bailed me out, and it might do the same thing for you. I say, whenever I get in trouble, I hear her words. She says, son, don't forget to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray, because prayer changes things. And you better believe something, it 100% show do.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no ticket. You just get on board. All you need is faith when you hear the diesel humming. Now, that's it.
I'll go get you.
You remember the late, great Curtis Mayfield?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. People Absolutely. Don't talk about him that much anymore, but he was greatness.
Well, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Ladies. Speaking of greatness.
How you doing, Steve?
Well, you know, I'm good, you know. Mm-hmm. Excited this morning. Energized, you know, ready to get at it another day.
Yeah. None of us won the lottery, huh?
Yeah. No.
Well, you hear me, don't you?
Loud and clear.
Okay, so the winning numbers, the Mega Million winning numbers was 5, 28, 62, 65, 70, and 5. They say the winner is in South Carolina. Then they say there's a winner who got 5 of the numbers right in San Francisco. So we'll see.
Man, I think I might have one of them.
One of the numbers?
$10.
I got a couple of numbers on different tickets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't play. Yeah.
Oh. What?
I didn't, because if I lose, like, I'm going to be so mad.
Shirley, you lost.
Well, and I didn't play.
But I didn't play, so I'm cool. I didn't what? Spend my money.
Man.
That's my
I know you
I
can't win if you don't play.
$3,000 worth of tickets. My wife wouldn't let me. Yeah, I wanted to buy $3,000. I got $3,000 for 1.6. You feel me? Yeah, I've cut that deal all day long.
I think I got 3 numbers. I think I got $10.
That's all you get for $10
for 10
for
3.
For 3 numbers you just get
$10. No damn.
I'm saying.
Not even driving my car back down.
It's $10 worth of gas. Yeah. Go back and get the $10. Open that drawer, get that 10 back with so much attitude. Yeah.
Marjorie won last week. She had 4 of the numbers. She won 480.
Was good.
Oh, yeah.
So you win 4 out of what, 6?
Yeah, I don't know what they win. We ain't win the big one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, $480.
Yeah.
I need that $1.6900,000 buyout.
Yeah. Don't
That's
we
what
all?
I need.
Yeah. Well, what Thank about you, tonight? Jesus. You yeah. can do the Powerball, $620 million.
Yeah, I might play that.
I bought those tickets too.
Yeah, I'm ready. Nothing.
Even that, so is that a walk away from everything too?
$620 million.
He gets so tight when we ask.
I like how he gets
so. So if you spend $2,000 worth of tickets, if you win, you just win the $1.6 billion.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mean it like that, but
what did you just say?
You ain't even play, Shirley.
Shirley, this that you talking wanna... is blasphemy. You made $330. You just win $1.6. What?
All right, look. Lottery fever is in the air. We're going to tell you who else spent big money on these lotto tickets, too. We'll tell you that when we come back at 32 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Lottery fever is in the air. It's everywhere. The Mega Million Dollar jackpot was last night. And then tonight, now, Steve, tonight is a Powerball drawing. For $620 million.
Ooh, I got my tickets.
You got them already? I might buy some for tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, listen to this. Professional boxer and extremely wealthy person, Floyd Money Mayweather, was spotted in L.A. the other night buying, same amount, Steve, $2,000 worth of lottery tickets, okay? Now, Floyd is rather wealthy like you, Steve. He has a net worth of $600 million. Yes.
That is not my net worth.
Well, I mean, you're rather wealthy. You're rather wealthy anyway. I don't know what your net worth is.
I just do. No, I'm telling you it ain't six.
Well, Floyd's is $600 million. So, I mean, do you really need it after you have already much money? I'm asking. Yes.
What is you talking about need?
Okay.
Don't nobody need $1.6 billion.
I know.
But all y'all want it, though, don't you?
Right, we want it, but I'm saying if I had $600 million, that wouldn't be enough?
Yeah, you need more?
Yeah, well, I mean, what else can you buy or do?
What?
I mean...
That's that small mind thinking.
What else can you buy?
$600 million, that's not enough to live?
No, he already living.
No.
You want to live some more.
Look, you got $600 million, you don't need nothing. We out the need game.
Okay, good.
He just won't.
Okay.
I want $1.6 million. I don't need it. But I promise you, if you give it to me, y'all can follow me with a camera.
Because it's about to be ignorant.
Yeah, I'm going to do a reality show. Y'all can come on, follow me.
Because
it's probably the last time you're going to see me anyway.
Then you'll finally do a reality show, right?
Brother, I'm telling you right now, $600 million will square me straight up.
Well, $620 million. So what would you do? What would you do with it, Steve?
Is it going to be legal?
$620 million.
Any of it legal.
$500 million goes into this a friend of mine's fund. And the minimum is 12%. So $500 million go into that right away. That other $120 million.
And what's that going to do? Give you.
But listen, though, Steve. That $620 million, the cash value is $354.
Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, give me that.
You taking that too?
No.
You said boo.
No, I take that. The cash out is how much?
$354.3 million for the Powerball tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I take $250 million, put it in that same investment account at 12%, and I'm living on $30 million a year interest.
You get the check for that. 12 months would be $30 million.
12 months, you get $30 million, and you'll still have the $250 million.
So you need to counsel some of those people who have won the lottery.
No,
I ain't
counseling nobody.
And
don't
broke.
Call me. I'm changing my number as soon as I win.
Because you know all those people who have won and they're broke now.
Yeah, you see those shows.
Yeah,
those lottery shows where the people are broke.
So that started. So I got 152 left.
Do that math,
I'm good,
baby.
Dog. I got 152 million. Uh-huh. Okay, I got 152 million that money in the bank. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna go buy me a new house.
Oh,
I'm gonna go buy a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gonna take about between 35 and 50
million.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm gonna get something where you walk around in it. I'm telling you, I want you breathing hard the whole time. Okay, now I got 100 left.
Why are you breathing hard,
look
though?
Look at that.
Because it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, my God, he's got
how
that.
How big a D wonder?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But I probably financed the house, though.
Oh, really?
Really? You wouldn't pay cash?
No, you need that for a tax write-off.
Oh.
So I probably finance it. Put a little 20% down and go on take that note. And I'm gonna let the interest that I'm making this $30 million pay the note. Which gonna be way cheaper. So I'm gonna use their money. My interest gonna pay the note. I got 100 left.
Love how you break it.
I gotta go get me a plane.
Okay.
I'm getting me a nice used plane. Probably gonna spend about 20, 25 for that. 25 mil.
How are we gonna know it's your plane, huh?
Oh, it's going to have Wonder Love on the tail. Yeah, it's going to have Wonder Love on the tail.
That's your nickname. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I'm going to have 75 left. That is 75.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm going to give each one of my kids, all seven of my kids, I'm going to give them $10 million apiece.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
But I'm going to put it in an investment account that they have to, I have to sign off on all the investments. And the only thing they can do with the money is buy real estate or business investment.
Only, oh, okay.
Oh, that's smart.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so
I cannot give Lori $10 million.
Why?
No, ain't no way in hell.
Why not?
No. No, it'll be malls closing for her. No. I can't give Winton $10 million. Winton, Winton will probably try to buy an airplane with his student.
See? All right, Steve, coming up next in voting news, Democrat Stacey Abrams, she's defending burning the Confederate flag.
I don't care what she's accused of doing. You have a president that said he grabbing women by the pee. I don't care if she set the Confederate flag on fire. And went in night while she was in college. Yeah. Skip that. This woman is qualified, and we got to get to the polls in Georgia and get Stacey Abrams voted in, and we got to get to these polls down in Florida, and we got to get Gilliam voted in.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, you got to get to these polls because this voter suppression thing is real in Georgia, man.
Yes, it is. We'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, last night was the debate in Georgia between the gubernatorial candidates. The headlines before the debate was about Democratic candidate Stacey Abrams, who has defended her action of burning the old Georgia state Confederate flag back in 1992 when she was a college student at Spelman. We all know the Georgia state Confederate flag was a symbol of white supremacy. Ms. Abrams tweeted that she was proud to be on the right side of history and to have fought against hate her entire life. Right.
They got a lot of nerve to talk about this Confederate flag when the symbol of that Confederate flag, and y'all can't flip the script on us for this like you did to Colin Kaepernick, kneeling. Mm-hmm. You turned that into the flag issue. Mm-hmm. That flag, for so many people, represents hatred, slavery, civil war. Mm-hmm. If you don't think that they were fighting to keep slavery alive, you're deadly wrong. And that flag represented a lot of pain for black folks. A lot of Klansmen carries that flag. If you look at every Klan rally they got today, they got that flag with them. I do not care that she did that. Mm-mm. That doesn't bother me not one
I'm
bit.
Happy she did.
You have the audacity to call yourself the moral party, and then you turn around and you vote for a man who has done more immoral things known publicly of any president ever, and he in the White House.
With some more to come.
And let me tell you something. The paying off the porn stars, the taking the Playboy bunnies to your house where your wife lives, all of that. Grabbing women by the pee, laughing about it, telling jokes, making jokes about disabled people, calling Native Americans Pocahontas. There goes my African American. Mm. I mean, he just repeatedly does everything. And so if that's okay with you, then this is okay with us.
Yeah, and it is okay, Steve, with a lot of people, what Donald Trump has done. He's got a lot of support out there. A lot of people think he's doing a fine job,
He's done some things that he's getting credit for because it's on his watch, and it's okay. Manufacturing jobs are up. Unemployment is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
You know, the economy is booming. The tax code that he passed, he's done some things. They should talk about that. But what he's done for the country in terms of unifying the people that he was elected to govern has been horrible.
He's not governing all people.
Right. He's just doing his base. Yeah.
Yeah, he's governing his base.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about it is his base doesn't know. this has no effect on their life. They don't even know it. It's so sad, man.
So Steve, we have the Stacey Abrams issue going on in Georgia. Meanwhile, in Florida, now this is according to the Huffington Post, voters in Florida received a racist robocall from a white supremacist group in Idaho, speaking in an exaggerated, like, minstrel-type dialect, trying to discourage voters from voting for Democratic Florida gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gilliam. Take a listen to this. Take a listen.
Well, hello there. I is the Negro Andrew Gilliam, and I'll be asking you to make me governor of this here state of Florida. We'll get all the chicken pieces they need.
Okay.
Yes, Steve.
That's all we're playing. And you know why?
That's enough.
Because that's enough. Here's what we have to understand. That there is a racist component going on every time a black person runs for something.
Yes, for an office. Yes. And he'll be the first black governor of Florida.
And so now all the way in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Idaho.
Idaho. This base of people has this group out that sent this robocall out that's ringing up people's phones in Florida all over the place. And to do something so blatantly racist.
In 2018.
Against a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. We have got to go to these polls to show them that the real power is not in name calling.
Right.
The real power is not in racism. The real power is not in insulting us. The real power is not in voter oppression. The real power is in voting.
That's right.
That you can vote this type of behavior and suppress that.
You're right. That's one of the reasons, you know, I think it's important to play this kind of thing, because this is the kind of thing that should make you get out and vote. If that if that makes you angry, get out and vote. Cast your vote. Do your civic duty. Right. You're absolutely right. Because it's horrible what they're doing. Horrible.
They're not talking about issues.
Right.
No.
They're talking about flat out pure hatred of a person because of the color of their skin.
That's all.
Right. That's all that is. That's all.
Now, Stacey Abrams in Georgia. We got to get out and vote.
Yes.
A lot of people been talking about voting. They're concerned about the number of rappers that's backing Stacey Abrams. They're concerned about that. I saw an audio tape of them talking about it on the phone today.
They have a right to vote just like you do. Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah,
but see, listen to me. What we got to do is we got to show them. This is who we are. We are people who vote. You know, we did it in 2008. We did it in 2012. We got to do it again in 2018. See, we slept it in 2016.
Yeah, we did.
And you see what happened.
You see what you got.
This is the same time.
See.
But midterm elections.
We've got to get out November the 6th and vote.
People died for our right to vote. They really did. They gave their lives. We have to do something.
It's sickening.
Yeah, it is.
That in 2018, we have to deal with some minstrel.
Yes.
White man wants to make fun of this brother down in Florida, and he way over in Idaho.
That's horrible.
Man.
I ain't never met
the
man or nothing.
Don't know nothing about him except he black and you don't want him in. Because you want to protect a certain base. And this base is getting on my nerves. Because that base right there is very reflective of the leadership.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, he plays to them. He goes to these rallies. These rallies ain't to talk policy.
He don't never talk policy.
It's a comedy show. It's a routine. He in there telling jokes. He's performing. He loves it, man. He loves people clapping for him.
He's in his element there.
He's a narcissist, man.
He is.
This guy is just, if you like me, cool. That's why he sat up there and he listened to Kanye for so long. How does Kanye get an audience in the Oval Office to talk about nothing? This is the type of plane you ought to be on. You like a father to me.
That
when
right
I, when
got
I put
me.
This hat on, it's like the Superman cape.
Let me give you a hug, man. Yeah.
Man, how does this red hat feel like a Superman cape when the words on the hat says "Make America Great Again"? And I need to know from Kanye, what period does he want to go back to that makes America great again for us? Because the damn show wasn't the 70s. It damn sure wasn't the 60s. It damn sure wasn't the end of the 50s. I was here for all of them.
Well, thankfully, he's quiet right now, Steve. Coming up in entertainment news, Megyn Kelly apologizes for her blackface comments. We'll talk about it right after. I'm sick of this now. I'm sick of it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Megyn Kelly has apologized for saying wearing blackface on Halloween was okay when she was a child. We'll talk about it right after you take a listen to this.
Truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface on Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game.
And you should be able
to take it if you're going to dress up like that.
Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah. One of the things they mentioned is people dressing up like Nazis and this. If you think it's offensive, it probably is.
Yep.
Wow. She made these comments, Steve, on her talk show, Megyn Kelly, today on NBC during a roundtable with four white panelists about censoring Halloween costumes. Megyn Kelly also defended Real Housewives of New York City star Luann de Lesseps, who darkened her skin when she dressed as Diana Ross for Halloween last year.
Well, now, I saw that picture.
Last year. Yeah.
I saw that picture of Countess Luann. I wasn't offended by it.
No.
See, blackface is when you take black shoe polish and put it. She just put on a bronzing cream and put on a white jumpsuit and an Afro wig and said, "I'm Diana Ross." I wasn't really offended by that. I'm gonna just be honest with you. I saw it. I didn't take huge offense.
Yeah.
Blackface is when you put them black shoe polish on your face and them big white lips.
That's
the issue.
Mock black people.
You know, I mean, there's right. Exactly. The history of blackface in our culture. This is what Megan said. You know, now she's feeling apologetic about all of this. She got a lot of backlash and she sent an internal email to her colleagues. She wrote that she now realizes that such behavior is indeed wrong and that she's sorry. She's talking about the history of blackface now. The history of blackface in our culture is abhorrent. The wound too deep. She added that she's never been a politically correct kind of person. Yeah, we know. We remember you from Fox News. But she says, I understand that we do need to be more sensitive in this day and age. Particularly on race and ethnicity issues, which are far from being healed.
I mean, you know, she said it so fast that you couldn't believe that she said
You know, as a matter of fact,
okay.
You're right. Yeah. When I heard it, it kind of got by.
She said it fast. And it's like, no, it wasn't cool when you was a child.
Not. And it took you your whole career practically to realize that this is offensive.
Yeah, they realized it after they said it. They never realized it when they
before.
Here's the deal. I play golf with people who are conservatives, right wing. I'm on golf courses with them all the time. It's no way around it. A lot of them have grown up. See, what's appalling to a lot of us is the norm for them. That's why Donald Trump doesn't have any problem saying any of the stuff he's saying, because for him, it's the norm. And when he goes to these rallies, he lets it fly because he's amongst his peers. Except them po-ass people out there have no idea that Donald Trump could give less than about any of them. They don't even understand that, man. Donald Trump is about the wealthy. That's all. How can he care about the poor when he don't know no poor people? How can he care about the poor when he has never been poor? This dude ain't never had a struggling moment in his life. He cannot relate. That's why he can snatch a baby from a mother at the border. That's why he don't care nothing about stopping no caravan. Go back home. That's why he don't care nothing about none of this. He has no respect for women. This is who the president of the United States is. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think, you know, they should have kept Tamron Hall in Megyn Kelly's spot. Just left Tamron Hall. All right. Time for today's headline, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
And this is Ann Tripp with the news. Good morning, everybody. Turkish media now reporting that their investigators have found suitcases and clothing in a vehicle left in the garage attached to the Saudi consulate that may have belonged to missing journalist Kamal Khadzoji. the Saudis finally acknowledging that Khashoggi died in the consulate on October 2nd, even though they're claiming he died accidentally during a fistfight. The Turkish president, though, Recep Erdogan, says his investigators say the columnist was murdered and in the most gruesome, premeditated way.
Our security and intelligence teams have information, and these suggest that this was a planned incident. And trying to blame a few members of the intelligence community will not satisfy us or the international community. It will be satisfactory only when everyone who is responsible for this is penalized.
And the Turks say they want the killers tried in Turkey. Authorities would also like to see Khashoggi's body. President Trump claims that the Central American migrants headed here are not just poor people looking for a better life.
Certainly you have people coming up through the southern border from the Middle East and other places that are not appropriate for our country. And I'm not letting them in.
The caravan of migrants are now said to number about 7,000, most of them Honduran, currently forced to camp on a Mexican basketball court with few facilities and no food. The president is threatening to cut off all the aid that we send to Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador if those governments don't get their people to come back home. However, critics say that cutting off aid would only end up forcing more and more people to leave their countries. According to Rolling Stone magazine, the Republican candidate for governor in Georgia, get this, Brian Kemp, caught on audio tape saying that his Democratic challengers get out the vote operation, quote, continues to concern us, especially if everybody uses and exercises their right to vote. That's what this man said. Kemp's opponent, Stacey Abrams, would be the first black female governor. Kemp reportedly made that comment at a Professionals for Kemp event. When Rolling Stone called Kemp's campaign about the remark, they acknowledged that the event took place, but they wouldn't comment further. Meanwhile, this guy, Brian Kemp, is currently Georgia's Secretary of State. It was reported last week right here on the Steve Harvey Morning Show that he decided to suspend some 53,000 ballot applications, about 70% of them belong to African Americans. American Public Media says Kemp purged an estimated 107,000 voters from the rolls last year simply because they didn't vote in the prior election. He's being sued for leaving more than 6 million Georgia voting records open to hacking. He's also being sued because of an abnormal amount of absentee ballots in the Peach State, mostly belong to black and Asian voters. This guy is running for governor. Ears up, Steve Harvey Nation. Find out if Uncle Steve's smarter than his nephew. We'll be back 20 minutes after the hour. Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, Tommy's not here today, guys. We know that. We watched the season premiere of Ready to Love last night. It was good. It was last night. Yeah, it was on the OWN network. It was really, really good. Really cute. The new dating series is produced by Will Packer. It's hosted by our very own nephew, Tommy. I think he's on the phone. Tommy?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, we have a new name for you, first of all.
I'm sorry. If y'all don't mind, will you address me as Thomas Miles, please?
What?
See, right there.
No, at least make it through a season.
Yeah.
One damn episode.
Can y'all address me as Thomas Miles? That's all I'm asking. Ooh. I don't think I'm asking too much.
We knew he was going to change, though.
But he didn't got real Hollywood season.
Yeah, he didn't get the commercial.
Hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to say this, y'all. I was talking to O the other day.
And, you was talking to who?
Oh, that's, I'm sorry, Miss Oprah Winfrey. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking to O. Oh, my God. So, anyway, O wants, you know, O and I talk. And, you know, there's some things. O and I, yes. You know, O and I talk. And O wants me to be a little bit more dressier. So, you know, she called SR.
Do they know they don't make them type of clothes in your size? Does she know that?
Yeah, we have a new name for you.
SR is making an exception for me. You know what I'm saying?
Who is?
So SR is actually sending over several different items for
who
me to choose
SR?
From.
Who is SR?
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, you guys know nothing. I'm sorry. Stefano Ricci. He's actually... he's actually, you know...
Man.
He's got your design.
You know what? Matter of fact... SR told me to tell you hello. He heard that you purchased his clothes. He's never met you before, but supposedly, I'm getting ready to meet SR soon. And you know what? O has me taking a private flight over there to actually get dressed for my wardrobe for the rest of the season.
You're gonna get dressed where?
Oh.
We know nothing.
We get on your nerves.
Do you not know anything?
Man, this boy. Okay.
You gonna go where to meet Stefano Ricci?
Stefano Ricci is gonna meet me in Milan. Okay. You know, O called him. But since O called him, he wanted to actually get the measurements himself and make sure my clothes were precise. So that's what's going on with me, SR, and
you want me to send your measurements to him?
Tell him to hang on, Steve. Hang on, Tommy, okay?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind, but I don't have long because I need to call O in the next 10 minutes. So what?
Oh, you go O, what's after doing that?
We'll be back with more of this ignorant phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, last night, as you all know, was the premiere of Tommy's new show, Ready to Love. Yeah. It is a new dating series that's produced by Will Packer, super producer, and hosted by nephew Tommy. Who, if you didn't hear our last break, asked us to call him Thomas Miles.
No, has changed.
Yeah. Oh, and has he changed?
Wait. What's wrong with that? What's the problem? Y'all can't say Thomas Miles. What's wrong with that?
What is O question?
I have a question, Steve. Why isn't he at work today?
That's really what the hell I'm trying.
That's the question.
Listen. Okay. So, O wants me and Will to come to Milan. Okay, and she's sending us her plane. Hey, you don't have a plane. Oh, God.
I ain't got a whole lot of money. I ain't got a whole money either.
On it and everything. It has rooms in it. What? Why your plane don't have that?
Oh, now he hates. Oh, no.
This boy got one episode in. Yeah. Dog, this is embarrassing.
Let me just say this. Uncle Steve. You know what, man? You got to really try some of the finer things in life. Because you flying ghetto, dog. You know what I'm saying? You flying ghetto, man. Quit doing that. Yeah, so, but anyway, O is sending a plane for me and Will. We're going to Milan.
You on Air Tram.
I'm not on Air. No, I'm on O. Okay.
No, you on O today. Yeah, but if them ratings come out.
Come on,
so now you finna dog my ratings?
No, I'm dogging your ratings. I'm saying if the ratings come out,
you know,
how long do you think you're going to be flying on this plane?
Okay, but I don't want to say hate don't look good on you, dog. It don't. Mm. You got to stop this.
You know what, Tommy? I actually have been pulling for you. I've actually wanted you to do very well.
And you know what?
I just didn't know that this change was going to come so suddenly.
Yes.
Not after one damn episode. Oh, I knew you was going to change.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen,
yeah.
O and I have developed a very good rapport. We're starting out. I can't do all these shows in one day.
You gonna do
okay?
Super Soul Sunday? You gonna do Super Soul Sunday?
So, you know, what I'm saying, no, I will not do Super Bowl Sunday. What I'm saying is, you know, when I do, when Miss O wants me to do Masterclass, I will do Masterclass with Miss O.
You know how many years that's gonna be?
Before what?
Before you get asked to do a master class. Because if you do it right now, it ain't going to be called a master class. It's going to be a pop quiz.
And tell him your nickname. You call her O, she'll call you Button. I think that's perfect.
No, I'm not Button, okay? Yeah. Me and Wheel are going to Milan.
What's O's last name? What's Oprah's last name, Tommy?
Winfrey.
Yeah. You better just keep calling her.
I see why she said just say O. Yeah,
because you're going to mess that woman hell.
Right.
Yeah. It's all coming together now.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, it's Ready to Love, right? Tell us about the show one more time. You can promote it before we get out of here.
I want to thank all my fans for tuning in last night, watching the show, Ready to Love. Mm-hmm. It'll be back on again Saturday, 10 Eastern, 9 Central.
I'm going to watch it Saturday, Tommy. It's going to be the same one or different episode?
It'll be the same one on Saturday, honestly.
Okay,
so
cool.
Like
I'm going to watch it Saturday because I didn't get a chance to see it last night.
It's good. It's so grown good and sexy. I like it because it's grown and sexy and it's real.
I want you to watch it. Really tell me what you think, because you're going to give me some great pointers on the do's and don'ts. And I promise you, I will accept what you tell me.
Yeah. You know, you've been doing all right, man, right up until this phone call. You know, you've been real humble. You've been crying. You've been grateful.
and then right up into this call after one of them asked. Now we got to call you Thomas Miles.
You know. But you don't. Okay. You don't see. You don't see me. Like. Do you remember when Larry Fishburne turned into Lawrence? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Well, then nephew.
Well,
Tommy,
that was about 10. That was 10 movies in.
We got to go, Button. Okay.
I'm not Button. Okay.
Bye, Button.
Shut up, Junior. I'm not Button.
Prank phone call coming up next.
Get it, Button. King of Buttons.
See, O don't talk to me like this.
Yeah, because O don't know you.
Ready to Love, hosted by Button.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's my strawberry letter for today. The subject, it is so good that it's clouding my judgment. Or is it so good that it's clouding my judgment? How about that?
They ain't talking about ice cream.
But right now, Nephew Tommy's out. You know that. Junior's in with today's prank phone call. What you got, Junior?
NBA party.
Huh?
There it is. NBA party. Run it, cat.
Hello, I'm looking for Brad.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, how you doing? This Poncho, man. I'm one of Marcus's boys. How you doing, man?
Oh yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I talked to Marcus, man. He was telling me about the playoff party, man, for Sunday, man. So he told me if it was cool, I'll come through, man. I just wanted to call and holler at you, see if I need to bring anything, food or some drinks or whatever, you know.
You friends with Marcus?
Yeah, this is Poncho, man. I'm friends with Mark.
Okay, yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah, well, you ain't great, unless, of course, you know, you're drinking something special. But, it's just going to be me, Marcus, and, a couple other boys going to be here. And, whatever you want to bring, it's going to be where I'll be. So, yeah, that's cool.
Okay. What time y'all starting, man? He told me, like, around 1?
Yeah, I'm going to be here all day. But, come on through about 1, 2 o'clock, just before the game gets started. We'll have got the flat screen going. Everything's going to be laid out. So, just come on through whenever you come through.
All right. Just remember, man, Poncho, all right? I'll be there.
Poncho, got it.
All right, cool.
All right, peace. Hello?
Hey, Brad?
Yo.
Hey, Poncho again, man. Listen, real quick, how much food and liquor do you have?
I think we got enough for Sunday. What you got going on? What's up?
Yeah. I got like 3 boys going to ride with me, man. I just want to make sure you got enough over there.
Okay, who is this again?
This Poncho. You know, we talked about 30 minutes ago. This Poncho. Marcus' friend.
Right, okay.
Right. Man, I called you about 30 minutes ago. Told you Marcus told me it was cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Phone ringing back and forth. I guess it's all right, but, we ain't trying to overload the joint, man. Just, I know Marcus, and if you're a friend of his, then that's cool. You can come through.
It ain't but three guys coming with me, man. They real cool, man. We'll bring something to put on your pit or whatever. It'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. But come on through, man.
All right. I talk to you. All right, Brett.
Is one of them Marcus?
Is one of the guys Marcus?
Yeah.
No. I got it's 3 guys. Me, I make 4.
So about 3 other guys. Yeah, whatever, man. That's cool. Yeah, bring them through, man. Come on. It's fine.
All right.
Later. Hello.
Hey, Brad. Poncho again, man. Listen. Hey, I'm gonna bring one more person with me,
wait,
dog.
Hold. Pump your brakes, player. Wait. Hold up. Hold the up. Now.
What's up?
You Marcus's friend.
Yeah. Me and my Poncho.
Yeah, okay. I know you Poncho, man, but you bringing everybody with the Cisco kid up in the Marcus is cool with me. That's my boy. We go way back. And if you cool with him, too, then, okay, you can come. I'm trying to have an NBA playoff game. You bringing the whole NBA with you.
No. It ain't like that, man.
Man, the place ain't that big. My wife is going to be coming through here. And, I got the house laid out. I told her I wouldn't destroy the place. But I just got out the doghouse, 2 weeks ago. I ain't trying to that up. So, if you're coming through, you come through. Bring 1 or 2 people with you, but that's it.
Okay. But listen, hear what I decided, man. I ain't going to bring them dudes with me. I'm just going to bring a little lady friend with me, man. If that's cool, I'm just going to bring a little lady friend.
No dudes. Okay, that's cool. Now you're talking. Okay, because I know she ain't going to eat up a bunch of but come on through here with her and, you know, be done with it. That's fine.
Right, right, right. I'm going to call Simone now and tell her that she coming with me, okay?
What's her name?
Her name's Simone.
That's funny. That's my wife's name.
Oh, okay. But maybe they'll hook up while we watching the game. That'll be cool.
She ain't gonna be here, so I'll send her and her girls to get their nails done.
Okay. So check this out, man. I'm gonna reach out to Simone and let her know that we're gonna leave her and get over there like about 1. And you say it's cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool, man. That's a whole lot better than bringing a bunch of up in here. But
okay, bet. Yeah. Now check this, man. Mine, you know, my friend, she married, you know, and she wanted to get away from my husband for a minute, man. I guess they've been going through, so, you know, just keep that on.
Hold on, back up there, You bring in a married woman named Simone. What are the odds of that? My wife's name is Simone.
Okay, well, dog, I mean, this one, Simone is her last name is.
That's my last name.
Wait. Hold on, dog. This Simone is light skinned.
Yeah, you keep on describing her. She's light skinned, 5'1", short hair, got the alley cut. How long you been with my wife?
Hey, dog. Me and Simone been friends for a minute, man. It wasn't until like a couple weeks ago she reached out to me and said she was going through some.
She reached out to you to tell you that she's going through some stuff with her dude. Well, I'm that dude.
Okay.
How long you been seeing my wife?
Hey, man, you know, about a year, but who counting? You know what I'm saying?
A year. That's about the time we started having some issues. Yeah. Y'all come on over to this party.
Hey, man, I'm sure we can try to figure this kind of situation out.
No. Pump your brakes. You're my wife.
I don't give a about you.
I don't give a about her either. They say, you know what? I've always believed this. There are no mistakes up in this. Everything happens the way it's supposed to be, so it's funny how you call me.
Okay, listen, man. Listen.
How do you get this number?
My boy gave me
this number. No, it's no question how you get this number. You probably called me directly from her. That's how you got this number.
My boy gave me this. Leave Simone out of this, man.
No, you can't tell me right now. You know, I'm about to get up this phone with you right now. I'm going to call her. Matter of fact, I ain't going to call her at all. Don't tell her. You my wife? Just bring her to the party. I got a guest list for your. I got a 380, I got a Smith, I got a Wesson, I got a size 14 Taylor to go right up your. So you just come on over to this party.
Okay. Hey man. Listen. My boy gave me your number, man.
I don't know who my boy is. Marcus said he don't know you.
Marcus don't know me, but guess who else knows me though that you don't know?
Well, say something.
Hey, Brad. This is Nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your boy Marcus got me to prank phone call you.
What? I don't give a. This is some. I'm going to get off y'all in here.
Hey, Brad, what was you going to do with the party, man?
Look at here, man. This is about to be a can of whoop for this.
Hey, man, let me ask you something. What's the baddest radio show in the land?
It's the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Really?
All right, there it is. NBA party. You know, you got to have NBA party. Here comes the explanation. You know, Shirley, sometimes you got to have NBA party.
Come on, Junior.
You know?
Do tell
you
me.
Always have to have that every now and then. Ain't nothing wrong with an NBA party.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying? Just throw one every now and then. You know, get some basketball. You know, see, CP3 and Rondo could have got along. They had an NBA party. This is all Tommy logic. Where is he?
Oh, you know, he's a TV star.
Yeah, he's a TV star.
You know,
cute as a button.
Cute as a button. Just call him.
Oh, I was thinking like ugly, like Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
There it is right there. He's little. Uh-huh. He's the size of a baby.
He ain't
as attractive as he thinks he is.
So Button, that's his new name. Button.
Benjamin Button.
Button, what's up with you?
See, it has a nice ring to it.
BDB.
All right, listen. When we come back, it's the Strawberry Letter subject. Is it so good? It is so good that it's clouding my judgment. We'll come back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice on relationships, dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to steveharvey.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Okay? Isn't that right, Steve?
Yep.
Come on.
Mm-mm, that's all they
that's
need.
That's it.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of letters. I'm tired of
it. We have. We really have. Thank you, guys. We could be reading your letter live on the air, just like we're going to read this one.
Yeah, but the chances of it, though.
They're good.
Oh, okay.
They are.
Who told you to say that shit?
No one. I know.
Oh. Well, right. Eventually we get to all of them.
We get to a lot of them.
All right. Hey, everybody, it's that time. It's time for the Strawberry Letter with my friend Shirley Strawberry.
Thank you, Junior. Subject.
Junior.
Is it so good that it's clouding my judgment? Dear Stephen Shirley, I am a 43-year-old single mom of two. For the past year, I have been seeing a nice 43-year-old gentleman that I met on the Plenty of Fish dating site. When we met, I told him that I was ready for a relationship, not just to hook up for sex. He said, let's see where it goes. 2 weeks later, after talking on the phone, we finally met up, and we ended up having sex that first night. Darn it, Steve, it was so good that I could not stop. We continued to have sex at least once a week, and he started staying overnight at my house. About 6 months later, I asked him, so are we together? He said, no, we're just friends. He told me that we should just stop having sex and just be friends because I was getting too emotionally attached to him. Not even a week went by before he was back in my bed. The sex is so darn good that I cannot stay away from this man, but I really wanted a relationship. The whole time we've been together, I have been taking him to and from work. He does not have a car or his own place to live. I also cook for this man and give him money when he needs it. He does pay me back each time. I'm giving 100% of myself to him. But he has the nerve to only like me as a friend. It makes me feel like he's just using me. Is the good sex clouding my judgment? What's really going on here? Please advise. Okay. Okay, seriously. Seriously, if you were here, I would physically shake you so hard. Try to shake some sense into you. You know, you may be 43-year-olds, but you're doing way too much, okay? I mean, just talk about over and above and beyond. That's all you. That's all you. You're doing way too much. And I disagree with you. No, he's not using you. He doesn't have to. I mean, you won't even give him a chance to use you because you're right there. Let's go down the list. You give him sex when he wants it. You cook for him. You drive him to and from work. He stays with you. And you give him money. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, don't you take him to and from work? I gotta ask you that. So why do you have to give him money too? It's too much. You're doing too much. I just don't understand. You know, you have to get some self-respect. You have to. You have none, okay? You have to stop this. I'm glad you wrote us. Nothing is that good where you have to lose your dignity and your low self-esteem. Nothing is that good, okay? Nothing. I don't care. Nothing is for you to lose your self-respect like that. And that's what it is. It's not that the sex is so good. You're caught up. You got to get a hold of yourself here. This man has nothing to offer you but sex. And you want much more and he's not giving it to you. Steve?
Ready?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Thank you. Oh, Lord, lady. 43, single, mother of two. You 43, you met a 43-year-old very nice gentleman on a dating site called Plenty of Fish. Keep that in mind. Never heard of Plenty of Fish.
Neither have I.
Got an idea.
Yeah, I got an idea. When we met, I told him that I was ready for a relationship, not just hook up for sex. He said, let's see where it goes.
See right there? You say you ready for a relationship, not just for a hookup. He say, let's where it goes. Guess what you missed that he didn't say? He did not say what he wanted. He ain't even say, yeah, that's what I'm looking for too. All he said was, let's see how it goes. 2 weeks go by. You've been talking to him on the phone. You finally meet with him. You ended up having sex the first night. Darn it, Steve. I know.
Say what, Steve?
Darn it, Steve. I know. Go on, say it. It was so good, I could not stop. We continued to have sex at least once a week, and he started staying overnight in my house. 6 months later, I asked him, so are we together? He said, no, we ain't together. Hell no, we just friends. He told me we should stop having sex and just be friends because I was getting too emotionally attached to him. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even a week went by, and he was back in your bed. The boy in here doing it. This boy in here got it turned up. He in there bringing it. And I'm about to tell you why. This sex is so damn good, I can't stay away from this man. But I really want a relationship. The whole time we together, I've been taking him to and from work. He does not have a car. He does not have his own place to live. I cook for this man and give him money when he needs it. Now, when I come back, I'm going to explain some things to you.
You have a minute.
Now, this ain't. Well, first of all, let me tell you something. You find him on a dating site called Plenty of Fish. And of all the men in here, you get the one damn catfish that was in the You done bought a damn bottom dwelling, scavenging, nasty ass catfish.
Good one, Steve.
All these fish in the sea. Mm-hmm. And which one you pull out? A catfish. He ain't working. No, he worked, but he ain't got no car and he ain't got no house. Where do he work? At the paper route?
He can't get no money.
Dog. And you give him money when he need it. Do this man have a paper route?
All right, hold it right there, Steve. Hold it right there. We'll have part two of your response coming up at 23 after the hour. Today's subject is, it is so good that it's clouding my judgment. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's recap today's Strawberry Letter. It is so good that it's clouding my judgment.
Yeah, she done met this man on Plenty of Fish. She done pulled out the one damn fish she didn't want, a catfish. Bottom dwelling scavenger. They been sleeping together. She can't stop. It's so damn. Once a week, 6 weeks, 6 months go by. She finally asked the man, are we together? He said, no, we ain't together.
What'd he say?
No, hell no. We need to go. Where you get that from?
Oh, no.
What you talking about? Just because I spend night over here, we together. We need to go.
You take me to work and you give me money.
We just friends. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to stop having sex. Just be friends because you're getting too emotional. For me. You know, yeah. I don't like to be attached to stuff.
Yeah. Woo.
You know, I ain't attached to no car note. I ain't attached to no mortgage or no rent payment. You know, I ain't attached to no kitchen nowhere while I'm cooking.
No house.
I ain't attached to no money. Don't you see me always needing something?
Oh, you don't do attached.
The sex is so damn good, I can't stay away from it. He give me the money back, but he don't have a car, a house. He need money all the time. And you got to take him to and from work. My question for you before we went on break was, where does he work? At the paper route? I'm trying to figure out what job he got where he can't get a car, a house, or need money all the time. Now, you want to ask me, let me explain something to you about this good sex you have. You having sex with a man that ain't got a car. You having sex with a man that need a ride to and from work.
Right.
You having sex with a man that ain't got his own place. Mm-hmm. You having sex with a man that can't cook. and you having sex with a man that need money all the time.
This boy here.
The reason his sex is so good, he f- for food. Now, listen to me.
You've lost your entire mind.
This fool.
Now, I know you had to bleep that, but that's the best way to say that.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Here's another reason. See, this is called BS that he's giving you. This is just BS. Now, a cleaner way to say it is, BS is called benefit screwing. Because he has to produce the type of screwing that produces benefits.
Yeah.
So now he in there giving his all in all.
Yeah.
And he got to, because he probably working part-time. He got time to sharpen his skills.
Yeah.
He don't have the stress that most men have on. A lot of men can't perform because of stress.
Yeah.
But he ain't got none. He ain't got no mortgage. He ain't got no car note. He ain't got no kitchen. He ain't got to buy no groceries. What is he stressing for? He is free to BS, to benefit screw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he just in that performing.
Yeah.
All his energy is in his sexual performance.
Mm.
He can't buy you a coat for Christmas.
But boy.
At Burlington.
On sale.
He can't bring you a plate from Steinmark.
On sale.
He can't bring them kids of yours a toy from Walmart. He can't bring you a Happy Meal from McDonald's.
That's a shame.
And when he do get money, it's so rare, he down at Chick-fil-A on a Sunday talking about how the hell they ain't open. Well, if you had money during the week, you know that they ain't open on Sunday.
Right.
This man that you think you want to have a relationship with, why would you want a relationship with him? Somebody you got to take care of and can't do nothing for you except good sex.
Right.
Then that's all it is. It's just good sex. It's nothing, no other benefit to him. And let me tell you something, this gonna wear off. Because you know why it's gonna wear off? Because you're gonna mess around and need something. Uh-oh. Everybody needs something every now and then. I don't care who y'all.
Yeah.
And when you need it, since that's who you're passing out all your loving to, you're going to want it from him. Yeah. And guess what he going to tell you? You ask me for money for, we ain't no more. We just friends. We just friends. You know I ain't got it. I just borrowed money from you last week. Now I can pay you back what I owe you. Will that help?
Man. She said he was a nice gentleman.
He is a nice. You got to be nice when you ain't got nothing.
Can't
well,
be.
I'm going to be mean, and I ain't got nowhere to go. You got to pick me up. What the hell I'm finna be mean for? You got to be nice. Yeah. You got to drop me off and pick me up.
She needs to understand that.
He just getting out. As soon as he jump in the car, he started rubbing your thigh. I'd see what's happening.
Yeah.
Soon as he get in the car, his hand on that pretty thigh. Then you in here sweating like a runaway. Because big Cleophas Jackson Raynard the Fourth is finna come up in here. Cleophas Jackson Raynard the Fourth.
That's a runaway name.
Is finna come up in here. It's finna to be more than I was yesterday. Lady.
She wants a relationship, Steve.
With who? He can't do nothing for you or your children.
Nope.
He's a bad example of a man. He's 43. He don't have a car. He don't have his own place. He don't cook, and he borrow money from you. And he's 43. You want a relationship with him? You got it. He's doing the only thing he can do, and that's screw.
That's right.
He can't do nothing. I told you, ask him for a coat this Christmas.
All right, we got to go, Steve. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter. It's
not
Steve Harvey.
Just a coat. You'd want a wool coat. Burlington.
at Steve Harvey FM.
Coming with a collar that flip up. Just ask for a coat with a collar on.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about voting. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Ask for some boots.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, well, guys, the midterms are about 2 weeks away. We talked about this earlier in the show. Last night was the debate in Georgia between the gubernatorial candidates. The headlines before the debate was that Democratic candidate Stacey Abrams defended her action of burning the old Georgia State Confederate flag back in 1992 while she was attending Spelman College. She was a student there. We all know the Georgia State Confederate flag was viewed by many as a symbol of white supremacy. Ms. Abrams tweeted that she was proud to be on the right side of history and to have fought against hate her entire life.
I'm trying to understand. This woman burned the Confederate flag when she was in college, and they don't want her to be the governor. But you can sexually assault a woman in high school, which is just a year or two before college, and you can get on the Supreme Court.
You better talk.
I'm confused. Excuse me, moral party, but I'm confused about when do we start becoming moral? When is that flag more important than a woman's rights?
When it benefits them.
But see, as long as it's them, it's cool. So, you know, I'm just really, man, wanting someone to explain to me. And if you understood what that flag represented it to black people.
Oh, the Confederate flag? Oh.
Yes.
If you understood what it meant to black people, people of color, people who lived under that flag and suffered major oppression and injustices, murders and rapes under that flag. Why would we honor that flag?
Right.
The American flag, I don't have a problem with. I do not have a problem with the American flag. None whatsoever. I do have a problem with the Confederate flag. And nothing you can say gonna change my view about that flag. Not a thing. Because I know from years of listening to my father, my uncles, my aunts, what that flag stood for them. And you're not finna change my mind about it.
Just please get out and vote, people.
We got to vote, man.
We do.
Man.
We absolutely
do. We
do.
We got to
vote. Take everyone who's of age in your household, your friends. If there's someone that you know that can't make it to the polls because of transportation, drive them if you have to. Arrange, you know, transportation for them if you can. Just get to the polls. This is one of the most important elections in our lifetime. Really, it is.
It really is. It really is.
No.
You got to vote. You got to vote. And it doesn't matter if you don't live in Georgia, if you don't live in Florida, and you're hearing us talk about this and you think, well, this doesn't affect my state or this. No, you still have to get out and vote in the midterm elections and elect people that are concerned about issues in your community.
There is an election in your state.
There it is.
If you're listening to this radio show,
yes.
You're in an area that needs to.
Yes. You have to go vote.
Yeah.
You have to vote. That's right, Steve.
It's we ain't on duty. In Montana.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Get
you
out
have
and
to
vote.
Yeah. If you want to see change, if you want to make a change, vote. That is your power.
We have got
your
to
voice.
Get a balance in the Senate and the House.
Yes.
We got to get a balance because right now it's heavily leaning right wing. And it's not representative of our country.
And that changed when President Obama was in office and it was a low voter turnout for the midterm elections in when he was in office. What was that, 2010?
Yeah, and then the Republicans controlled.
The Tea Party was born, all of that stuff, okay? So.
And they tried to stop him from doing everything.
Yes, everything.
President Obama. So we got to turn this around.
Yeah.
We got to vote.
Your vote is your voice, your power. You matter. Please vote.
That's it.
Yes.
So Georgia and now Florida.
Oh, Florida. Andrew Gillum and...
He's in a tight race there, but he's ahead so far. He's running for governor. He'll be the first black governor of Florida. And if elected, he's, you know, faced racist comments, dog whistles throughout his campaign. The morning after the primaries, Representative Ron DeSantis, Gillum's opponent, went on TV and warned voters not to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda and huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. You caught that, right?
Monkey this
yeah.
up.
Uh-huh. Quote.
Yeah. And what he said, that was an accident.
Monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. Okay?
This is...
He could have said any, used any other word,
don't
any other term.
Don't mess this up.
Yeah.
You know, that'll work.
Besides monkey. Come on now. We know that. We know
they
what
act like
doing.
We don't know their code.
We know
though.
What you're doing. Yeah.
They got code word like they don't know we know them. Nationalists. Yeah.
Well, monkey ain't a code.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Trump don't use code either.
No. He's
you
a
can grab a woman by the pee. Yeah. That's not a code.
No.
That's a direct hit.
He called himself a nationalist.
Yeah.
There's no
They
code.
Told me not to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm a nationalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doubled down and said it again. You're right.
I don't even know what that means.
Excuse me. He's trying to say that he's for America, and he's not like a globalist and thinks in terms of the world. He's just thinking of America, this nation.
Well, what he should say, he's a patriot.
Yeah, that's what he should say.
He shouldn't say mm-hmm. nationalist. That's
white nationalist. No, he's not a patriot. Patriots pay taxes.
Ooh, all right,
you kind of upset. I love this, Steve.
No, you stand correct.
No, I'm sorry.
That's a good one, Steve. First, I was like, "Huh?" Yeah. Then you nailed that one for sure.
Definitely.
You nailed that one. Yeah,
no, he's not a patriot. Yeah. Patriots pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Well,
all right. Speaking of voting, Donald Trump's predecessor wants you to vote. We'll hear what President Barack Obama has to say right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Barack Obama is trying to stimulate young voters. He responds to some of the commonly made excuses for not voting. Take a listen to some of the excuses and some of the answers.
I don't care about politics. Look, I don't care about Pokemon, but that doesn't mean it won't keep on coming back. That's actually what people in power are betting on, that you'll check out, that you won't vote. And when you opt out, that's what allows other people to essentially fill that void. It allows them to do nothing about the things that you'd like to see government do. So if you really want to throw a wrench in their plans, throw them out. Vote in somebody better. Next, why bother voting when I can't relate to the candidates? Now, this is actually a good question. For way too long, politicians haven't been representative of America as a whole. But that's changing this year. More women are running for office than ever before. More LGBT candidates are running for office. First-time candidates, young veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, young leaders from across the political spectrum. So this year, more than any other year, you have the chance to change the face of politics so that it looks more like your own.
Right. That's what we need, yeah. Come on, get out and vote.
That's a good answer, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Come on. Yeah.
President Barack put together. That was good.
Yeah.
He's just such
he's
a good
so
guy.
He simplifies everything.
I don't understand how, really, y'all, to sit this one out, this has to be the most voter-attended midterm election in our history. Because if we get out, man, we can change some things. Mm-hmm. We can stop this wave of senselessness towards other humanity. We have a president who does not care about anyone that isn't rich. He doesn't, man. This wall he talking about, we're going to build the wall. He done convinced these people that this wall is necessary.
They want
now.
It. They want it.
Look. Should there be some type of border controls? Yes. But we need a policy in place where people who are qualified to come into this country can come. See, ain't no problem if you coming from Poland, Czechoslovakia, France, Europe. Italy. Europe. You can come from any one of them countries. Because mm-hmm. you can come over here. What you cannot do is bring your brown body over here mm-hmm. without a mm-hmm. dog fight. Mm-hmm. Because all y'all coming is criminals. Excuse me. What? But if you come from south of that border and you brown, you Cuban, Guatemalan, Honduran, Nicaraguan, Mexican, Jamaican, any other thing, any kind
Haitian,
of color.
Jamaican,
man, please get out of here. It's sad. But then the hypocrisy of the Republican Party is what sickens me the most. You act like you're not the one hiring these people. And now they've tried to spin it and go, they're going to take, minorities need to be aware because they're going to take jobs from minorities and poor whites. They don't come over here to take work that y'all want to do. And the only reason they can take the construction workers is because the owners of construction workers like hiring these skilled labor and underpaying them. They ain't got to give them no benefits. Who you think own them companies? You think them all Democrats? Huh? That's not true. So now, the hypocrisy of not wanting them over here is ludicrous because they need them over here to do the farming. They need them over here to keep these restaurants running. They need them over here to keep the construction business alive. Here's the other hypocrisy. We don't want any more abortions. If you vote for abortion, we're going to take you out of office. Do you all think for 1 minute that Republicans don't get abortions? Are you kidding me? You think Republican people don't get abortions? You're sadly mistaken. Here's the other bit of hypocrisy. We don't want abortions. We don't want illegal immigrants. And we don't want gays to have any rights. Excuse me. You really don't think that the Republican Party, who is against gay marriage, who is against these gay rights, being able to form families and get benefits, do you really think there are no Republican gay people? You think the majority of gay people is liberals and left wing? Are you out of your mind? Are you kidding me? The hypocrisy mm-hmm. that they've created. Now they disguise all of that. And they say, we're going to build this wall and we're going to protect our country and we're going to make America great again. When was America great? When did America used to be better than it is now? I'm scared to ask them when they think that is. Because I'm telling you, black folks, if you find out when they thought America was great again, you're going to be stunned. Your ass ain't going to be sitting in no more damn lunch counters. If you get back to when they thought it was cool. You finna get some German Shepherds put on your ass. You really think?
Yeah, it's a shame.
I don't know when you think that's gonna happen, partner, but brother.
Back at Cud Water Fountains.
Brother, make America great again.
Back of the bus.
Brother, brother.
Off the sidewalk when they come by.
Brother. That's my comment, man. And I'm doing it. Am I doing it calm?
No, you're doing
it. Yeah, you are. You are.
You were very
surprisingly, no cussing. Yeah, none of that. So, yeah. We didn't have
to
get real.
It's a serious subject. Yeah. This is a serious time. This country is divided.
And we're divided because we're more divided now than ever because our leadership creates divisiveness amongst the people that he was elected to govern.
By design, too. It's no accident.
No.
Yeah.
But he's only in office for his base. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right, coming up, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
A judge has denied Bill Cosby's attempt at a new trial and reduced sentence. This is according to NBC News. Cosby's lawyers argued that the evidence against him was old and unreliable and shouldn't have been allowed at trial. They also said his sentence was unnecessarily harsh. But Judge Stephen O'Neill said he found no reason to grant the request. Cosby was recently sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constant back in 2004.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so sad what has happened.
Mm, I
to all of these women.
Every level.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad what an iconic figure has become. It's so sad that these women are left to grapple with this for so long for what happened to them. I cannot sit here as a friend of his, a man who had a friendship with him, and say that I don't believe any of this is true, because it's just, it's too much evidence. It's just too much. It's heartbreaking to have sat with this man so many times, learned so many things, having had no idea any of this was going on. I mean, none of us knew, really. You know, none of us knew that any of this was even going on. It was shocking when I heard about it. I'm like, no. Yeah. Come on, man. Because there were no signs of it. But as you got to going along with it, it just too many people came out. Yeah. Too many people came out. And it became like, wait a minute, man, hold up, bro. Dog, Bill, come on, man. And so, you know, this retrial, old evidence that was allowed to come in.
This last time, yeah.
That's what the lawyers were saying when they was trying to get a retrial. Mm-hmm. Old evidence was brought in. Key word, evidence. Evidence is facts or
proof.
Information
proof.
Gathered
yeah.
that shows guilt or innocence. Mm-hmm. That's what evidence is.
Right.
In a layman term.
Yeah.
So something happened that they allowed to be said that caused the conviction. And, you know, at one point in time, we all have to answer to whatever it is we do or we've done. And if you've gotten away with it, eventually you have to pay. Now, man, it's just hard, man, when you've been a friend to a guy, when a guy has friended you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with no knowledge of it, but just taught me so many things about being on television. Helped my sons at Morehouse University. And then to find out this is heartbreaking, man. It really, really is heartbreaking. And to see what has happened to this iconic figure.
Yeah, it was hard to watch him go into the courtroom and to the jail and be led away like that and everything. And then, you know, on the other hand, it was like, well, finally justice for the women, you know.
For
that
the
he's
victims.
Yeah.
On
the other hand, so, you know, you were just torn. It was a tough time. It still is,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and he's in prison today. Mm-hmm. And...
yeah, and we all grew up watching him. You know, he was America's dad at one time, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, coming up, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Lottery fever is in the air. It's everywhere. The Mega Million Dollar jackpot was last night. And then tonight, now, Steve, tonight is a Powerball drawing for $620 million.
Ooh, I got my tickets. Yes.
You got them already? I might buy some for tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, listen to this. Professional boxer and extremely wealthy person Floyd Money Mayweather was spotted in L.A. the other night buying, same amount, Steve, $2,000 worth of lottery tickets, okay? Now, Floyd is rather wealthy like you, Steve. He has a net worth of $600 million. Yes.
That is not my net worth.
Well, I mean, you're rather wealthy. You're rather wealthy anyway. I don't know what your net worth is. I just...
do. No, I'm telling you, it ain't six.
Well, Floyd's is $600 million. So, I mean, does he really... I mean, do you really need it after you have already
much
money? I'm asking. Yes.
What is you talking about need?
Okay.
Don't nobody need $1.6 billion.
I know.
But all y'all want it, though, don't you?
Right, we want it, but I'm saying if I had $600 million, that wouldn't be enough?
Yeah, you need more?
Yeah, well, I mean, what else can you buy or do? Or
what?
I mean...
that's that small mind thinking.
What the hell is wrong with y'all?
What else can you buy?
$600 million, that's not enough to live?
No, he already living.
No.
He want to live some more.
Look, you got $600 million. You don't need nothing. We out the need game.
Okay, good.
He just won't.
Okay. I want 1.6, but I don't need it. But I promise you, if you give it to me, y'all can follow me with a camera.
Because it's about to be ignorant.
Yeah, I'm going to do a reality show. Y'all can come on, follow me.
Because
this is probably the last time you're going to see me anyway.
Then you'll finally do a reality show, right?
Brother.
Really?
I'm telling you right now, 600 mil will square me straight up.
Well, God. Yeah, 620 million. So what would you do? What would you do with this, Steve?
Is it going to be legal?
620 million.
Any of it legal.
500 million goes into this a friend of mine's fund. And the minimum is 12%. So 500 million go into that right away. That other 120.
And what's that going to do? Give you.
But listen, though, Steve. That 620 million, the cash value is 354.
Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, give me that.
You taking that too?
No. He said boo-hoo.
No, I take that. The cash out is how much?
354.3 million for the Powerball tonight.
Okay, I take 250 million, put it in that same investment account at 12%, and I'm living on $30 million a year interest.
You get the check for that 12 months to be $30 million?
12 months, you get $30
million. Wait a minute.
And you'll still have the $250 million.
So you need to counsel some of those people who have won the lottery.
No,
and
I ain't counseling nobody. Don't call me. I'm changing my number as soon as I win.
Because you know all those people who have won and they're broke now. Coming up, we'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show. As Nephew Tommy would say, excuse me, Thomas Miles, we're heading toward the benediction for this show today, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you know what? Earlier in the show, I told you this new survey is out. It's about millionaires. And it says, if you want to be rich, be positive. This is according to a new survey. Like I said, millionaires do their best to stay away from pessimists, okay? The survey found that 9 out of 10 rich people make it a point to be around people who are positive and focused on success. So, you know, I got to ask you, Steve, is that true? Do you live your life like that? And, you know, what can we learn from all of that?
Well, I mean, you really, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to associate yourself with other successful people. They're not hard to find. They're not that hard to find. There are a lot of success-driven people. You got to be willing to strike up conversations. But in order to do it, for the most part, most people have to be willing to step outside of their comfort zone. Walk up to somebody who you think is successful and introduce yourself and just say, hey, look, I've never met you. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm so-and-so. I've noticed you around here. Congratulations, man. If we could ever get a chance to sit down and talk where I can learn from you, I sure would appreciate that. I don't want anything. I just want to learn maybe some principles or some of the things you said. Most successful people are willing to share that information. Most successful people don't want to give you money, but most successful people will share that information with you to make you feel, to feel as though they're contributing to your success without being the success. You know what I'm saying? I would much rather give you some advice that can carry you long throughout your life than to give you $10,000 so you can go buy these T-shirts. You know?
Okay.
And so,
like it says in the Bible, teach them how to fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is very true. One of the principles of success, and this can go along, you can ask me a couple of questions like that, Shirley, today, because that could be part of our closing remarks, because people do want to be happy and people do want to be successful, but you've got to be prepared to get uncomfortable.
What do you mean by that now?
You have to understand that becoming successful is extremely uncomfortable. It is, listen to me, extremely uncomfortable. It is not easy to be disciplined. Discipline is simply doing everything you have to do, even when you don't want to do it. That's discipline. Well, that right there is uncomfortable.
Okay.
Getting up every day, all the time.
Yeah, I got you.
Making every meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Going to all the seminars.
making all the classes.
Taking all the phone calls.
You're gonna do all the phone calls, mm-hmm. all the meetings. You're going to sit there and listen to every pitch and proposal. You're going to do the things. You're going to read success books. You're actually going to apply the principles of success and try to live. You mean to tell me you're going to change the way you eat so you can feel better and think more clear, which will help you become more successful? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm not finna do all that. People don't want to be out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Because I've heard many more people say, oh, I'm not doing that. I don't feel like doing that today. Stuff like that. I mean, I've said it myself. Yeah.
That's the beginning of not being mm-hmm. successful. I ain't doing that today. Yeah. I don't feel like it. Everybody has those moods. Right. I get them myself. But for the most part, 99.9% of the time, I go ahead and do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I move something off, I'm going to get it done, but we got to put it in another time slot. But I'm going to get it done. But I don't leave nothing undone.
Well, we know that. You have more jobs than anyone.
And you know what? Go ahead, Cheryl.
But I did want to ask you this, Steve. I think we touched on it earlier and we didn't get a chance to complete it. But you've made it, you know, for a lot of us who know you and for a lot of people just in general, your fans and everything. You have made it. You know, you're what success looks like. So are you done?
By no stretch of the imagination.
You want
nowhere
more.
Near done. Well, I'm not even a third of the way there.
Has anyone ever asked you, well, how much more money do you need?
Well, I don't need any more money.
Okay.
No, I want a lot more. Like, I don't need no more.
What more do you want?
What is it that I don't? I have not provided all the opportunities I feel like that I'm capable of providing. I can't be on any more TV shows, but there are people around me who can. I want to be able to provide those opportunities. There are people who have some great business ideas that I would invest in that could turn into something big. I have yet to find the right financial partner that has more than I do that's willing to put some money with my company and go, hey, now let's be partners and let's go do this. I'm always looking for that. I am looking for a way that my wife and I can send these 10,000 kids to college, full scholarships paid. We made a dent in it, but we're not close to the 10,000 that we set out to do.
So,
I want to change thousands of boys' lives a year. Really?
Okay.
Let me change that. I want to change 1 million boys' lives a year opposed to hundreds.
What I hear and what you're saying, what I hear is your legacy. This is your legacy. You're working on legacy
I'm working on that a great deal right now. Mm-hmm. I want my children's grandchildren to know my name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's important for me. But I also want to leave a footprint deep enough where I have mattered to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to matter to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to matter to everybody. I'm not naive. Mm-hmm. But I want to matter to people. I want to move the needle for people who are less fortunate than me. I want to teach as many people as I can and share the information with as many people as I can that don't really have anybody in their life to tell them the principles of success or anybody in their life to just tell them, man, that you could be just how you are and have a relationship with God. That's important things to me.
I think those are lofty goals and reachable goals.
And can I tell you one other thing, Cheryl?
What's that?
Have a great day.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.